Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does, and I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Just smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to episode 11 of Team Friendship Reads the Newberries. This week we'll be discussing the 2017 winner, The Girl Who Drank the Moon by Kelly Barnhill. But first, I'd like to welcome my fellow podcasters, Mandalay.
What up, friends?
And Lauren.
Hello, friends.
How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Fabulous.
You know, just living life.
Yeah.
Enjoying fall.
I love fall.
Trying.
It's real hot
like 80
today.
80 degrees yeah. today, so... So, no. Sorry. Actually, I'm not.
It's okay. It's coming.
If Lauren's honest, no.
It was nice yesterday.
Yeah.
Go get yourself an apple donut.
I might. I'll be back.
All right. Well, let's jump into our For the Love of Books segment. We need another song for that.
I don't have a ditty.
That's all right. Who is prepared to go first? Anyone have loving book news? But not book news. That's not to be confused with book news.
So I read the book One Crazy Summer by Rita Williams Garcia. And that's, I didn't know it when I was reading the book, but that's actually in a series of books. So I'm totally excited because... there's more to the story. Anyway, it's about these three sisters, and so they live in, I think, Brooklyn with their dad and their grandma, and their mom left when they were young, when, like, their youngest sister was a baby, and so they're going out to California to meet their mom, and, like, their dad just, like, sends them on an airplane, and they spend 1 month with their mom. So it just talks about, like, their crazy summer with their mom, and it gets into stuff like the Black Panthers, and it's, like, during the Civil Rights Movement. So it was very interesting to me and well-written, and I learned, it was just really good. And it's a middle grade book, so it's an easy read, you know, geared toward, like, 8 to 12-year-olds, but obviously 30-year-old women can learn a lot from it, too, so... It's very good. I highly recommend it.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy, do you have any book?
Well, I've been reading this one.
I'm proud of you.
Yes. I've also recently, and this is not everyone is into, I've gotten into some Stephen King. So, yes.
Because she's a freak.
I am a freak. So, and I know some of his stuff can get a little sketchy. So far nothing is sketchy, but he's very good at writing. Like, he's very, like, he sucks you in, you know, and you're like, I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying that. I don't know. I've pulled a few more off the shelf that I added to the pile, but I haven't really opened them yet. So I took Sherlock down again.
Nice.
I might read that eventually.
Those are fun stories.
Yes. So, that's about it for me, I believe.
Well, I listen to a book podcast, and anytime I hear about a book that sounds interesting, I will put it on my Goodreads. And then just recently, I kind of went through, and I had several books that were new releases. Like, well, I'll request them from the library, and it was a wait list. I'm like, it'll take a while. Pretty much all of them came in at the same time. So I read The Almost Sisters by Jocelyn Jackson. That's a lot to say. But it's an adult book. It's not a children's book. It was interesting. I don't know if I would recommend it or not. I don't even know how to describe it.
It was a little sketchy.
It was a little sketchy in parts, but it also had a very interesting story, and it was kind of dealing with racism in the South and family drama. And so it sucked me in. I read it very quickly. Yeah, read at your own risk. And then I started reading Ready Player One because of another recommendation I received from someone I know.
I almost
thought
that.
I wonder who that could be. Yes.
And then I needed to start reading this book that we are talking about this week. And that took up a good portion of my time. So I put that on hold.
Yes.
And while I put it on hold, my husband picked it up. And so
well, good for him.
Now he's reading it. And I'm reading The Glass Castle by...
High five, Joey.
Jeanette Walls. So
reading with friendship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That Glass Castle book sucked me in the first page. I'm
awesome.
Just going to say
what
that.
What is that?
It's a memoir by this author, Jeanette Walls. And it's being turned into a movie sometime soon. Mm-hmm. So lots of people have been talking about it. But I heard about it before, and then I found out it was a movie, and then all these people are saying how amazing it is, so I decided to give it a shot. And it's... She's just reliving her childhood, and she has a very interesting childhood. Hmm. I will just leave it at that. So...
The Glass Castle.
Yes.
To write that one down.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I'm not sure... I don't know. I'm only a few pages in, so I can't give it a full, like, yeah, read this book.
Right,
but
right.
Lots of people like it. That's my for the love of books.
Oh, guys, we just love books.
So much.
All right, Mandy, are you ready for the book news?
I am always ready. All right, what do we got here?
I've been doing extensive research lately.
Via an email from Laura.
Yeah, her minions. The mayor does a good job of being my secretary. That's because the mayor is the savior to all people.
Yes.
Metaphorically speaking.
So we have here, Kwame! My spirit animal.
Yes.
No, that was Matt. Never mind. But we love you, too.
We'll be talking about him, too.
All of our favorites.
He has become the first recipient of the Conroy Legacy Award. What is that, Lauren?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Are you just now looking at these?
No, I told her to look at them earlier.
No.
Read the thing. Read it.
An honor created to carry on Pat Conroy's memory.
I didn't know who that was, so I had to look it up. But Kwame is the first recipient of this award. I think he got a check to, like, or, like, something was donated in his name or something like that. So, look up Patrick Conroy if you're interested in that.
Interesting. All right. And then we have the Peter Rabbit movie, which... I actually do know about because I actually watched the trailer that one day. The day that you sent it, I think. And I was going to send it to you guys, but I'd watched it in the morning when I woke up and I was tired. And
it's fine. We acknowledge that you saw it first. You were the first one to see it.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. It looks really cute and funny.
It does look cute. Some people, I'm reading like, because that's the first trailer that's come out. And so they basically show like...
It's like
a sneak peek, basically.
Yeah,
it's like
a forest animal dance party. It's awesome.
So some people are like, "Whoa, we don't know about this movie. It's gonna be it looks stupid." That scene looks stupid.
Yeah, it does.
But I was telling Leah, I was like, "That's how they did that. At least that's how they marketed that Paddington movie of like just like the house being destroyed. Like I think he floods the bathtub or something."
Yeah.
And like, but that movie ended up being super cute and like just really heartwarming. And so I think that's just kind of the direction they're going with
and
these
And I feel
movies.
Like the sweet, tender Peter Rabbit, that's been done. And he's a mischievous little thing. So why not?
He disobeys his mom in the story.
Yeah.
He goes into Mr. McGregor's garden, which he knows he's not supposed to do. So he's a naughty rabbit. So we're going to explore that.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
In a child-appropriate way. So.
One of my favorite people voicing him.
Yeah, there's a lot of big names in this movie,
yeah.
So I'm pretty psyched about it. I'm not like crazy psyched about it, but
not like gonna stand in line overnight.
Exactly. It's not like it's not like The Hobbit or The Force Awakens or anything like that. So
wow.
But
what
I'm
else,
excited.
Mandy?
Matt De La Pena has authored a picture book for Disney. Sorry, I have to scroll.
It's probably good for his family budget.
I know.
Oh, Coco!
Mm-hmm.
Don't they have that movie?
Yeah, it's for the movie.
That's cool.
It's like based on the characters. And you know how when Disney puts out a movie, they put out all these books to, you know, go along with it.
So yeah.
He
did a picture book.
It's paired with him and a Pixar artist.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
And I'm pretty, like, because, like, he's of Latino, like, heritage, and this movie explores all of that.
Seems like Disney's trying to be more careful about that. Like, Moana, a lot of the people almost all the people they casted were that.
The Pacific Islander. Yeah,
I can't remember what exactly the name is.
Yeah.
Maui or something like that.
So, yeah, which is awesome. I'm excited for that movie. Maybe more excited than Peter Rabbit, but not as excited about Star Wars.
That's the one that's, like, all bright and colorful and pretty,
it looks really cool.
All right.
Catherine Applegate, author of The One and Only Ivan, which is the 2013 Newbery Medal winner, has a new book out.
Called Wish Tree.
Yes, Wish Tree.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Trees can't tell jokes, but they can certainly tell stories.
You've probably seen a lot of it. It's been all over our Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's, like, pretty excited about it, so.
It looks like it's a story about a red, about an oak tree named Red.
Yes.
Aww. Hmm.
It, like, deals with diversity and just being kind to people that are different than you. Nice. And I'm totally going to read it.
I really want to read The One and Only Ivan.
I put a... Because the library... Since it's... I think it just came out like a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the library doesn't have it yet. Our library anyway. So I put a request in. So I don't know. Maybe it'll come in right away like yours did. But I don't
never
know.
Never know.
So it says it says that they have ordered it. Like you can look and see. They've ordered it. So.
And when they see those requests, from another podcast I listened to, they take that into consideration and try to... They'll get extra copies and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's nice. Mm-hmm. I don't do
the library. The library is very friendly. They try to work with you.
They are
building
very friendly.
My own library, so.
Congrats. I don't have the funding right now to build my own library.
I just do it a little bit at a time.
Every once in a while I can, but.
And with the help of work, I earn points for stuff and I can get gift cards to Barnes & Noble. So, perfect.
Oh, look at that.
My
what a perfect world you live in.
It is.
Is that all of the book news?
No. The Magic School Bus rides again.
Lauren and her daughter are quite into this.
No, I haven't checked it out yet, but I did watch
it's
the
good.
Trailer.
It's good. It's honestly, it's just like the other one. It's just they
except
put a new twist on it.
Has what is her name?
Kate McKinnon.
Yes.
Is the voice of the new Miss Frizzle. And if you watch it, you'll understand why I'm saying the new Miss Frizzle.
Oh.
So.
Suspense.
Mm-hmm. Secret.
But she does a good job. It's good. I like it. It's really good.
I feel like I'm just going to laugh. Anything Kate McKinnon says cracks me up. Like, even if she's being serious. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I like it.
I loved the Magic School Bus back in my day. So.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
And do you see on there who sings the theme song, the intro song?
No. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Wow.
It's the same song. He's just the one singing it now.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Fun times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the bus got a makeover.
Great.
It's just fun to see because obviously they're incorporating like our current technology and all that stuff, so.
That's this is awesome. So fun!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. Check it out. It's on Netflix.
I'm gonna check it out. It's on the Netflix.
Not now. Not right now.
And if you're listening and you're like, why are they talking about a TV show? This is based on a book series, so we're not
so take that, listeners.
Yeah, take that, listeners, and your judgmentalness. That I'm projecting on you.
This is the mood we're in tonight.
Oh, that's funny.
Got it.
This is just Lauren, and I'm working on it, okay?
It's all right.
I'm under construction.
Lauren, you gotta be you.
Yeah, but some things you gotta fix, you know.
Sometimes.
You can't always just be you, because
sometimes you just gotta rein it in a little
bit. It's not good
bit.
For the people around you.
It's true.
Is that it?
That is it.
All right.
Well done.
Thank you.
Another rousing rendition of book news.
Yes.
Thank you, Mandy.
I'm gonna go home now.
All the research and time you spend to look up those intriguing stories.
No, Lauren, all credit to you. Thanks for shooting me the email.
You're welcome. Look, I knew that you were under some stress and you needed...
I was on it last time.
...some help, so...
Every other time. That's all we're asking.
Yeah,
next time.
Just next time.
Kind of how it's fun next time read do your the book.
Books. Like, every other book, I,
we'll
you
see
know,
how
finish.
Long the next book will be.
All right, guys. Well, let's get into this book. Yes, The Girl Who Drank the Moon, winner of this year's Newbery Medal by Kelly Barnhill. Let me read the Goodreads blurb. All right, here we go. This is Goodreads. They probably got it from the back of the book, but I take my covers off, so. Every year, the people of the Protectorate leave a baby as an offering to the witch who lives in the forest. They hope this sacrifice will keep her from terrorizing their town. But the witch in the forest, Zan, is kind and gentle. She shares her home with a wise swamp monster named Glurk and a perfectly tiny dragon, Furion. Zan rescues the abandoned children and delivers them to welcoming families on the other side of the forest, nourishing the babies with starlight on the journey. One year, Zan accidentally feeds a baby moonlight instead of starlight, filling the ordinary child with extraordinary magic. Zan decides she must raise this enmagicked girl, whom she calls Luna, as her own. To keep young Luna safe from her own unwieldy power, Zan locks her magic deep inside her. When Luna approaches her 13th birthday, her magic begins to emerge on schedule, but Zan is far away. Meanwhile, a young man from the Protectorate is determined to free his people by killing the witch. Soon, it is up to Luna to protect those who have protected her, even if it means the end of the loving, safe world she's always known. Leah, do you have some author history and some book background, or what did you find? I know you said it was hard to find stuff.
It was. It's always a little bit more difficult, depending on, and this is what we were just discussing, how, what would you call that? How prolific the author's works are, how long she's been around, what she's done. So... Kelly is relatively new to the published full book world. I know she used to write some short stories, but she's got 3 books out right now. 4, actually, I think.
Can I just say, like, knowing that, like, how awesome is that, that she is a Newbery Medal winner?
Yeah.
Like, not just Newbery Honor, like, Newbery Medal winner. Like,
high five, Kelly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So she published... The Mostly True Story of Jack Little Brown. That was August in 2011. She did Iron-Hearted Violet. Oh, I'm sorry. I think Little Brown are 2 different things. I think those are the publishers or something.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Let's start over. She published The Mostly True Story of Jack in 2011. Iron-Hearted Violet in 2012. And The Witch's Boy in 2014. And then her most recent book that won the Newbery, The Girl Who Drank the Moon. So, Kelly is a mother of 3 who is married and lives in Minnesota. She said she's done a little bit of everything. She was a forest ranger for a while. She was a waitress. And just, she lists several, like, lots of random jobs that she did. She got married and had a baby, and they moved to Minnesota, and she decided to get her teaching degree. And so she had written a few short stories before that, and then she just kind of stopped writing for a while. And after she had her second daughter, she read a book that I've never heard of. Maybe you guys have heard of it. It's called The Last Report on the Miracles at Little No Horse by Lois Erdrich. Something like that. Louise Erdrich. I am also not familiar with it. So she read that book and she said something in it. She said that book unlocked something inside of her and she's been writing ever since.
Nice.
So that's how we have her current published works. So I could find more about kind of her inspiration for this book. Several articles were published after she won the Newbery Award. It was really cute. She said that her kids had changed her phone ringtone to the Wonder Woman, like the TV Wonder Woman theme, a while back. And so then that morning, like, that went off. That was her intro into finding out she had won the Newbery.
Oh, cool.
And so she said she went and told her son. I think she said he was 9 or something. Not very old, but she said, guess what? I won the Newbery Award. He's like, the real Newbery Award? <She's>, yes. I thought that was really cute. So, she said that her inspiration for this book, she was out running, and that's one of the ways that she can kind of, like, get some inspiration to write. And so she's out running, and all of a sudden, this image of the swamp monster popped into her head, and he was quoting the poem, like, the poem in the book, which, if anyone reads this book, you'll read the poem. I don't think... it's at the end, right? Like, his poem. I think it's toward the end of the book.
He has a lot of poems.
But there's, like, the poem at the end that's, like... anyway. So, that poem, basically word for word, is what came into her mind. She went home and wrote it down, and that was kind of her inspiration to start writing. And she said a lot of times it takes her a while to really develop a story and come up with an idea and all of that, but that one just kind of came to her. So that was her inspiration to start it, was Mr. Glurk. And then she also said that she, her and her husband went on a trip around then to Costa Rica, and she said there were a lot of, like, those steam vents in the ground, like, the boiling mud pits. Like, you could literally feel the ground moving underneath your feet. And so that was another thing that kind of gave her the setting for her book. But, yeah, that's basically...
it's all very interesting.
And then she said the kind of the running themes in the book about how narratives can be manipulated, true stories can be changed into falsehoods. She felt like that was very fitting for what kids are facing today, and also, spreading rumors, getting the wrong ideas about people, not having all the information. She said that's like real stuff for these kids. That's what their life is like right now. She said also, and this is kind of getting a little political, I guess, for some people maybe, but for Hurricane Katrina, there were a lot of false reports that came out of that, that things were a certain way and they were not that way. And that was a little bit of inspiration for her of wanting to share how false stories can be reported as true, and then chaos ensues.
Yes.
But, yeah, I was kind of disappointed by how much info I could find. She's got her own blog that she updates regularly. Which I'm sure we'll put in the show notes, but it's just kellybarnhill.wordpress.com. So awesome. I think we've caught her still at the beginning of her career.
She's still updating first, herself Kelly.
And all of that stuff. So I love that. But,
Well, being a book author isn't like, you know, you don't get paid a lot.
Right.
Like, I think we have in our heads, like, oh, they must make millions because they're famous. And it's like, no.
And she's still, she's a teacher in Minnesota right now. Like, that's what she does, so.
So, yes.
Oh, I did have one of the articles. There was a quotation from our good friend Kate.
Kate!
Fellow Minnesotan.
We love you forever!
She was asked what sets apart Barnhill's work, and Kate said, it's that heart and the imagination and the courage to ask big questions. How does she do that all the time?
I don't know.
I don't know. Her words.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's all I have. Oh, and I've been waiting to share this. So I found in the articles, the film rights have been sold to Fox Animation. So they have no dates or anything. I just know that they have sold the film rights.
So if to animation, so it would
said,
be
one said Fox, but another article said specifically Fox Animation.
I think that this would do best in an animated format. For sure. Just with everything that happens. It would just be very expensive to make if they try to do live action.
And just reading it, I felt like I was reading a Disney animated movie. With the colorful characters and all of that, so I don't know. I hope they do it justice.
Better be 2.5 hours long.
Great. With details. So, Leah, continue your thoughts, like, your overall thoughts on this book. So,
I really enjoyed this book. It definitely sucked me in every time I tried to read it. It was really long, but for a children's book. But it was captivating. I did question some of the content. It just seemed more intense than I think some of the other books have been that we've read. And I don't know, but I think it might be that whole thing of being an adult and knowing more about the situation. Right. But some of the things were just interesting, and I'm sure we'll kind of touch on different things as we go. But I'm being super specific with my words.
You are.
All the things. But I did feel like there were some more intense parts. I'm not sure that every child would be able to handle it all.
I could see that.
Yeah. But that's my general mm-hmm. take on the book.
Hmm. Mandy, how far did you make it?
I made it to page 152, chapter 19.
So, what are your thoughts on the book so far?
I love it. The only reason I didn't finish it was lack of time, but every time that I did sit down and read it, it was like hours went by. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to finishing it. I just really love it. It's very, like, gets my imagination going, yeah. And I love books like that, where mm-hmm. it makes it so that, you know, the brain works.
Part of the world.
Yes.
She does a very good job mm-hmm. of putting you in the world mm-hmm. with them. Yes. I felt.
Yes, I felt the same way.
Yeah, I like this book. I feel like it's a very well-constructed story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the different perspectives we get to see, and I just made a note, like, this would be, like, you can tell, I didn't know she was a teacher until you said that just now, and it makes sense now, because I was like, this book would be an excellent book to use in your classroom to teach perspective to mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. If the book isn't banned in your school because they mention witches and wizards and magic.
Right.
Exactly. And I also like the idea of passing down stories from generation to generation and how a story can change over time. But there's still bits of truth in a lot of those, you know, legends and myths mm-hmm. that have been passed down. So I like that idea.
Yes. And knowing what she said about, like, journalists and things like that, it also depends on who's controlling the stories.
Well, exactly. Like,
what information,
like,
you're getting.
Like, some people might be manipulating the story on purpose, mm-hmm. but sometimes you just don't remember mm-hmm. things yep. right, and yep. things can get changed over time. So, but as we see in this book, that's what happens with some of the people telling the stories just don't remember it.
Yes.
Because, you know, their memories have changed, but other people are actually telling lies to manipulate people. Yep. So, yep. That theme of truth.
Terrible.
In the book is very...
Terrible people.
Yeah.
Power is a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who would you guys say the main character is in this book? You know, we do see a lot of perspectives in this book, so I just wondered who would you say is the main character? I mean, it's called The Girl Who Drank the Moon, but is it really Luna's story?
I mean, I feel like from what I've read so far, I would say the witch is the main character, in my opinion.
Zan.
Just because there's, at least so far, there's a lot of, like, history mm-hmm, about her mm-hmm. and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it does bounce back and forth between Zan and Luna. Mm-hmm. And I think it, because it's kind of comparing and contrasting their stories. Mm-hmm. I did feel like Luna was more of a main character, but then you're right. I mean, Zan does a lot of the action in the story. Mm-hmm. Who do you think, Lauren?
I think that there's, like, a few main characters. Yeah. I can't, there's Ant. Is it Antane? Is that how you say
That's
his name?
That's how I've been okay. saying it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, I have been pronouncing the witch's name differently because...
Oh, how do you pronounce her name?
Well, I think it's because in Russian, X makes like a ch sound.
Oh.
So in my head, I always said it Han.
Okay.
But I think you're right, it's Zan.
I don't, yeah. Well, it's so funny, like, pronouncing things and, like, how are we supposed to pronounce things? Because different parts of the world pronounce things differently.
Exactly.
And
I'm not sure what, like, where she's getting this name.
So, yeah, I don't know. Antane ends up getting married, and his wife's name, I pronounced it Athena. It's E-T-H-Y-N-E.
I was just calling her Athene.
Yeah, and that's how, like, I said it in my head, too.
And I know, like, it could be Athene, but is it Athena? Because, like, some parts of the world pronounce that E at the end, like Hermione.
Right.
Or, oh, like, other words, like, in a lot of Tolkien's literature, he pronounces things like that. You know, it comes from that Greek and Latin
stuff. We'll have to ask her.
Kelly! You need a pronunciation guide in the back. Is there one? No, because I read all the way to the end. There isn't one.
Mm.
So anyway, yeah. But I think that's awesome. Like, you know, we can't name all our characters Jack and Jane and, you know, Cindy.
That's lame.
I know, right? We need to explore different names. So yeah, I would say, like, Zan and Luna are up there, and I think Antane's up there too, but, you know, but even Luna's mom is... I mean, and that's what I love about this book is because you get each of their different perspectives, and it's just very interesting.
Some people say it con.
Con?
Why?
I don't like it like that, though. For now, we shall call her Zan.
Okay. Did you guys have any favorite quotes?
I had quite a few.
I didn't mark any this time.
I wrote a few down, and then on Goodreads, there's a few that people have written that I was like, oh yeah, I liked that one too. I just didn't write it down.
I think the first one I wrote down was, human babies are only tiny for an instant. Their growing up is as swift as the beat of a hummingbird's wing. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. It's very true.
That's coming from a mother right there.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I think the first quote I wrote down, it might have been right after that. It says, for the people who loved Luna, time passed in a blur.
Yes.
Luna, however, worried that she might never be 12. Each day felt like a heavy stone to be hoisted to the top of a very tall mountain. And I just remember thinking that when I was a kid, like, I just wanted to be 10. Like, yes. I just, that year of my life specifically, I just remember going by so... slowly, like, I just wanted to be 10.
Right.
Yeah, now I'm like, take me back.
And now I have that perspective of the mom, like, watching my daughter grow up. It's like, she was just a baby.
Exactly.
Like, what is happening?
That's what I told you guys, man. The children in your life make you age.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very true.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just wrote partial things down because I was like, oh, I don't remember why I write. Like,
I always write page numbers.
Well, I wrote the page number. I definitely
I do that. Or sometimes I cannot read my handwriting because I write stuff down quickly. I wrote down this one. It says, and the things is talking about, like, when they were keeping secrets from each other, like Luna and Zan are keeping secrets from each other. And it's like, and the things that they did not speak of began to outweigh the things that they did. Each secret, each unspoken thing was round and hard and heavy and cold, like a stone hung around the necks of both grandmother and girl, their backs bent under the weight of secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And just that theme again of truth and knowledge and hiding things and, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the consequences that came from those actions.
She definitely did a good job of comprehensively covering themes like that in so many different ways and making it so clear, I think, to kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like a stone around your neck. Like, this is what happens when this...
The metaphors, like, and the...
One of the things I liked... In it, because they talk a lot about sorrow and hope and it's like the competing themes, but it's talking about a story about the witch, but she cast a spell over all of us, a great cloud of sorrow covering the world. Well, of course it covers the world. That's why the world is drab and gray. That's why hope is only for the smallest of children. But you learn that now. So it kind of gives you a metaphor for sorrow. It does make you feel drab and gray, but also in this perspective, now I remember why I wrote it down. All they could see was their sorrow and their drab gray world. But the world wasn't actually drab and gray.
Right.
It was only their town. But they didn't know that because that was their only perspective. They thought
that was the world.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
They didn't know that those other towns existed.
Yep.
That's good. You know, sometimes we can be so caught up in our own, like, mess, you know?
Yes.
That's good.
Sorry. Well, even...
just the way you said it.
Wow. And it's, I think it, you can kind of keep going out and out and out. So you get caught in your own personal daily drama. Mm-hmm. You get caught in the circle that you live in. You think everything is just like the people around you. The state that you live in. Each state is different. And then our country. Like, we think that the whole world is just like us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes like, it can be like sorrow and despair.
Right.
Or sometimes it could be the opposite, like, oh, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Like, this is, everything's fine. Why are they getting upset over there? Why is everybody upset? Like,
can everyone else be happy?
That's not the America I live in.
Exactly.
So
now she's doing it.
Yep. Here we go.
Yes.
Yep. So.
Good stuff, guys. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. People did not question much in the Protectorate. They were a people who accepted their lot in life as they should. That was the... How do you say the uncle's name? Gherlande.
Gherlande?
That's how I've been saying it.
You guys are the same. But like I think that was...
He's the head elder, right?
Yes.
He's a booty pants.
Yes. I don't know, like, in the circles we were raised in, we were always, I don't know if we were, like, outright taught this, or if it was just kind of, like, assumed, like, you don't question things, you just obey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not okay. Because even if what you're being taught is truth, if you don't know why, and you can't explain to people why... And all you can say is, well, it's just what I've always been taught. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Right. It's not your own truth that you've learned.
It's your mom.
Your mom or dad.
So if they truly want you
to believe those things, then...
And so, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, like, what you've grown up learning could be wrong, which it could be wrong.
Right.
And in some cases, it is wrong, or maybe it's not completely right, or whatever. But we at least, like, learn why you believe what you believe.
Yep.
And it's okay to question. You know, we don't need to be disrespectful about it. You don't have to be angry and disrespectful and starting riots. You can be respectful about questioning things. It's how we learn. We ask questions.
Indeed.
Oh, I just wrote down the quote about, because the moonlight, the difference between the starlight and the moonlight, because normally Zan would feed the children starlight, but she accidentally feeds Luna moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to refresh my mind about the significance of that. So it just says, there is magic in starlight, of course. This is well known. But because the light travels such a long distance, the magic in it is fragile and diffused, stretched into the most delicate of threads. It is enough to bless, but not to end magic. Moonlight, however, that is a different story. Moonlight is magic. Ask anyone you like. So, that's why Luna becomes enmagicked, because she... drank the moonlight.
I need some of that moonlight.
I want me too.
Just a smidgen.
I just loved Furion, like, from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was such a fun character, and I kept hearing, who is it that plays, is it a dragon on Mulan? Is that what he is?
Oh, yeah, Eddie Murphy.
I kept hearing Eddie Murphy's voice every time Furion would talk. And it made it even better.
I'm going to finish the book.
I had just watched Mulan before I read this book because it's on Netflix right now.
Yep.
And I was just looking for something to watch with Nora. And I was like, oh, you know, so I turned it on and like, I was just going to let her watch it. But then I was like, oh, like, I forgot how funny this movie is. And so I definitely had that image in my head. I don't know if I heard his voice.
But I did.
I had the image of the tiny dragon.
Oh, it's so cute.
You texted us, like, when you first started reading. That's what I was... like, when you get to these people, let me know.
That's because that's all I could think of was him. Okay. And I, like, I just kept hearing his voice and it was cracking me up. Yes. My husband was getting so annoyed because I kept laughing out loud.
Fearing is probably... if he's not my favorite character, he's one of them.
He's my favorite.
Because, yeah, he's... he's just so innocent and just craves love, but gives love unconditionally, and
he is.
It's just a good...
yes, yeah. He's awesome.
And then, Mandy, you haven't gotten here, but at the end, because so he's so tiny, and then at the end of the book, he becomes a big dragon, like a regular-sized dragon, and... kind of helps save the world, basically.
He gets big!
He ends up becoming the hero of the story. Well, one of them, Luna.
Yeah.
Also becomes the hero, but...
I like how he thinks that he's big, though.
Yeah.
He thinks he's enormous. Yes. And that everyone else is a giant.
It's the perspective. It's the theme of perspective. It's the thing of truth and knowledge. Like, he's being told this by Zan and Glurk. Like, we're giants... and you're a normal sized dragon, but and so that's why you're tiny. And like, if you were around normal people, they would just be so scared of you.
He's worried to go out and like scare people.
I don't want to terrify the people, you know. So that's kind of a lighthearted like view of it. Of people lying to you.
I do love that, how he does love so intensely. Uh-huh. And there was one line where he said, I love Zan's smell. I love it so much. Like, he just... I was telling Mandy earlier, what did he say? Are we hugging now? I love hugging.
He's just so great.
Yeah, he has some of the best lines, which is why I think this is why it would lend itself well to the screen, because it just has that comedic stuff. Mm-hmm. There's even some comedic imagery.
Yeah, well, when he starts growing, he grows awkwardly. Yeah, like his nose gets really big, and then his butt gets really big.
It's so cartoony, you know.
He's so awkward.
I like how he lights stuff on fire all the time on accident. Like, even when he cries, he lights stuff on fire.
Oh, bless his heart.
He's my fave.
Mm-hmm. And I did. I was surprised that I was able to love Glurk, because he's such an unlovely creature in the way they describe him. He's got, what, six arms or five? Four?
I think he has four arms.
Four arms.
2 feet.
Oh, that's right. His tail. He can use that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's... I'm having a hard time visualizing what he looks like, which is why I'm hoping they make a movie. So
I definitely had like a cross between Jabba the Hutt and like a poop emoji.
I kind of viewed him as like
sort of Jabba the Hutt.
That's not what I was imagining. Just kind of like a big snail with like a slug.
Yeah, exactly.
But he has arms and feet.
Sticking out arms. But they talk about how he's slimy and like... he gets dry and cracked when he's out of the bog.
It was when we were younger, like, I think it was like Saturday nights, like Turner Classic Movies would always have like the monster movies on, and like those old movies are so funny. Mm-hmm. But I just imagine like the swamp monster with like the flappy ears. Like they're like, you know, like that's what I was imagining.
But I loved him too.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a certain part of me that gets him.
Well, that's just what's so fun about, like, this book, is she and, like, hearing, like, the beginning of this book, like, and how, like, that's the first thing that she thought of, and it makes sense now, but I don't know, like, just, it's so interesting that you can take something that's so, like, quote unquote unlovable and weird looking and make him like this wise, like sage almost, like that is just so full of wisdom and caring about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just really cool to me.
Yeah, I like his quotation, and it's such a teacher line too, I think, but Glurk said, "Poetry will help. The study of language ennobles the rowdiest of beasts." And I think it does.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And I feel like she could say that to her students.
Yes.
That's the thing that she teaches. She teaches for a nonprofit like arts program in Minnesota or something. That seems like something she might be saying to her students.
Right. Yes.
I think it's funny that he's such like an ugly dude, but he's quoting poetry like he needs like one of those like eyeglasses or something, right? He's like a sophisticated bro.
He reminded me of Owl from Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
Like, ever the sage, like pretty stoic person, but Glurk had so much love for everyone else around him.
And like he's supposed to be, I'm guessing he's supposed to be like a, I guess for lack of a better term, like a personification of like creation, I think, right? Like, is
that that's what I'm saying. Getting? It does sound very, because in the beginning was the bog, and the bog was the world, and the bog wanted humans to, or wanted someone to talk to, and so he created the world, and, you know, the bog is the world, and the world is the bog, and everything is one and the same, and it came from word, and, I mean, that's, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with
biblical,
God.
Very biblical themes there.
And it was just...
I thought the same thing when I read it.
Curious to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else that made me think of it, too, but I don't remember what. Oh, and it just talks about, like, maybe this will be the end of time with like the volcano and all that, or maybe time will go on, and I don't know, it was very kind of circumspect in some of its views, and but I enjoyed that it was very deep, and I thought that parts of that seemed more appropriate for adults, just because sometimes kids don't understand that stuff, but I think it's great for them if they do.
I feel like this would be a good book for a parent to read to a child.
With a kid,
It does, and those books that you read out loud, they need these awesome characters that you can voice.
Just the whole time I've been reading it, like, I even thought to myself, like, it'd be cool to have my mom read this to me. Like, she
and then
used
you can
to.
Have conversations.
I'll just crawl up in bed with her. Sandy, read this to me.
Oh, goodness.
Let's talk a little bit more about Antane.
I don't know much about him.
Oh, that boy.
I think I got to where he was starting to have a little bit more in the story. I'm a little confused.
Okay.
What are you confused about?
That whole, like, the scars on the face. Like, when I got... Did I miss something, or...
You must have. He got attacked by paper birds.
Yeah, I figured that out as I was reading, but did that actual event happen earlier?
Yes.
So I don't know where I missed that, because, like, I got to that chapter where it's, like, talking about the scars on his face, and I'm like...
He went to see the mad woman in the tower.
Yeah, and I remember that part, so I don't know...
Mom.
Because there were a couple times as I was reading along where, like, I caught that I had flipped too many pages. So I'm wondering if that was, like, one of the times that I didn't realize it and I missed that whole part. I'm like, is this, like, a secret that they're going to unfold later?
No, it was just when he was in there, the birds started attacking him, and he was screaming, but the sisters couldn't hear him. And
okay. But it doesn't explain anything more about, like, how she has that ability, though, does it?
It doesn't. The whole book, it never does.
She doesn't know why she can do it, but she can create paper and turn... She can turn anything into paper and make it do whatever. She can even turn herself into...
It kind of alluded to maybe the madness had something to do with it, but then it said that it had always been with her.
Yeah, she said, like, she... feel like, because she's lost memories of thing because she's gone mad, But she's like, I feel like I've always been able to do stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. So does Luna have, like, powers within her before the moonlight?
I mean, it seemed like she did, because she was aware of everything that was happening to her as a baby.
Yeah, she has memories of when her mom was trying to keep her from being taken. And
so I was just curious if she was already in
magic. I don't know. They never explained the moon shape on their forehead. They both have it. So I don't know.
Is there a sequel?
I don't know. I thought for sure they were going to explain that.
I did too. I was kind of looking forward to that.
And they didn't.
Spoiler if you've not read the book.
Like Mandy.
Well, these were all the questions I had for you guys, because I was like, wonder.
So yeah, the birds actually, and explains later on that the mad woman, like, she keeps seeing this map in her mind that leads to Luna. Mm-hmm. And that's what the scars on his face are, that map.
Mm. The birds made it.
Yeah, I figured that out. So she's just dispersing maps to her daughter?
Pretty much. Luna ends up drawing a map.
Yeah. And
does Luna know what it is?
Mm-mm. No, she just knows. And they both keep hearing, she's here. And it's leading them to each other.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What else would you like to discuss, Lauren?
Well, I just wanted to talk about Antane and, like,
oh,
just...
Oh, yes, Antane.
His That's world. What we're talking about. Like, he's living in the Protectorate, and he's growing up in this, and he's an elder in training. Like, he's going to be one of these people that... Like, they haven't let him in on the secret that there's not really a witch in... Or they don't really think there's a witch in the woods, that they just leave these babies out here to die to keep the people in check, basically.
But he does have that sense that this is not right.
Yeah.
And this should not go on. And he basically gets scarred from that first experience of taking Luna away from her mom.
And he just can't shake. Like, he just gets flashbacks of it all the time. He's very traumatized by it. And, like, his mom wants, like, great things for him. And when he leaves this apprenticeship, she's just so upset, and I guess before the scars, he was a very handsome boy, and she's just disappointed in him. And he ends up becoming a really successful woodworker. Like, he makes beautiful furniture and is very successful. Yes. But that's not his mom's dream for him, and so in her mind, he's not,
He doesn't match up to what his society says he should do or be.
So, but he ends up getting the girl he likes. So
that's true.
Yeah. And then his child becomes the one who's going to be the next child to be offered. And that's when he says, okay, I need to put a stop to this. And since the only thing he knows is that there's a witch in the woods, he's like, I gotta go kill the witch. Like, I gotta stop this. Mm-hmm.
Even though he doesn't really want
to. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know that she is nice.
He hasn't, he's been lied to his whole life.
Protecting the witch.
Yes.
He doesn't know it.
He isn't protecting her because she knows there's a baby going to be left in the woods about this time every year. So she's on her way to go, and she's getting older, and she's very sick. So she turns herself into a bird so she can get there.
Scared him.
Yeah, she scares him, and so he accidentally breaks her wing, and he's so sad about it, so he puts her in his pocket and, like, feeds her, and, like, so he's like, unknowingly protecting the witch that he has come to kill. Antane.
Bless his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like his character to show how important it is to not just accept everything.
Right.
Like question and learn for yourself and study. If you feel that
something is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, because that kind of surprises me, because when they were earlier talking about him, they were talking about how he kind of liked to read stuff. Wasn't he at that place where...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kept the library locked up, which is another thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With knowledge comes more power, and so they like to keep the knowledge to themselves.
I thought he would know better. Whatever.
Well, he learns.
Well, yes.
You can only learn so much when everyone around you is lying.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of booties.
And we find out that the, like, what is she, like, the head sister?
Yes.
Sister Ignatia is actually a witch. And she feeds on sorrow. And so she is the one who has set up this system. And so she can feed on the sorrow of the town.
All of the stories of the witch that they kind of cut to, she has fed those stories to the people, saying they're about the witch in the woods, but they're actually about her.
Lies.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So that's why she did that, so that there would be sorrow for her to feed off of whenever they
get away a baby. But Antane, how do you say his name? Antane? I can't see it right now.
Antane,
his wife was one of the sisters, and she figured it out. She figured out that this was, that she was actually the witch.
Hmm.
And she escaped.
Mm-hmm. She gets out.
And they, apparently all the sisters actually knew that there was this tiger that prowled at night, and it was this sorrow eater lady.
This is riveting.
And, like, some of the ways that they describe her, like, some of the ways she's described is really kind of creepy. Like,
this is what I'm saying. Some of these things might be intense.
Yeah, like, she's having a conversation with the elder Gerland, and the Luna's mom has transformed herself into, like, a beetle or something. So she's, like, eavesdropping on their conversation. And Sister Ignatia is like, do you smell that?
Mm-hmm.
So she's sensing that she's in the room, and, like, Gerland is like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, he just smells the food. And she's like, oh, okay. It's just like she, like, her tongue went out and back in, like a snake. Like, it doesn't say that, but that's just,
but that's, like, what it sounded, that's what, like, pictured, that's what I pictured,
like,
too.
She's, like, smelling with her tongue.
Yeah.
Like, what is this thing? Like, you know, like, I just, that's before we find out exactly who she is.
Yep.
Like, I think we've gotten hits at that point, but yeah, I was like, who is this woman? I'm scared of her. And you should be.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it.
But I love at the end when, like, it's, like, basically, like, the climax. And, you know, it's this confrontation, and she's there, and Luna's there, and her mom is there, and Zan is there, and Aunt, like, they're all together. And, like, Furion has grown to full size, and he finds out that Sister Ignatia is the one who caused his mom to die. He's like, I'm going to kill her. Mm-hmm. And, like, so he picks her up, and he's, like, ready to kill her. And Luna is able to see into her heart, into Sister Ignatia's heart. And, like, she sees the pain that she has gone through that has turned her into this person. And she has this compassion for her, and so they don't end up killing her, they imprison her. But she never repents.
No.
Or says she's sorry.
And that's another thing they talk about, is consequences. Mm-hmm. There's consequences for things that are unavoidable. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And even with, like, they have sympathy for her, but she refuses to repent, and there's consequences.
Elder Gerland refuses to repent, and so, you know, and they were like, we forgive you, but you will be like this forever until you decide to apologize. Like, you're the one keeping yourself in this prison, basically.
Which is so true.
Mm-hmm.
That is what happens. During that time, when Luna's looking into her heart, and then she's kind of looking around her, she says, how many feelings can one heart hold? She looks at her grandmother. She knows all of her sorrows, her mother.
Yes, that's another
the man
quote.
Protecting his family. And then she said, infinite. The way the universe is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
There's no limit to what the heart can carry.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very true.
Yeah.
And she
also talks about later about how, like, she just feels so much love for her grandmama, but she also feels so much love for her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's, you know, and she just talks about how, like, you don't have to, I guess, like, you don't have to have a favorite person. Like, you can love people.
My love has multiplied, she said.
Like, you can love more than one person. Mm-hmm.
It's okay. In that way.
And it shows, too, I mean, life is hard. You'll have sorrow, and you'll have the anger and despair and everything else, but
it's what you do with it.
It's what you do with it. Your heart can carry it if you
I think
you do
one
it
of
correctly.
The other quotes in the book was just, like, the danger of sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of reworded it to like the power, because there's the mm-hmm. power of sorrow and the power of hope yep. also.
Yeah.
And if you're just totally consumed by sorrow and you don't have any hope, then that is very dangerous. Like Sister Ignatia, that's what happened to her. Like, she was so sorrowful that she turned into this monster and yep. starts terrorizing everyone around her. And yeah, and like Zan and Firion have pretty much the same sorrow, but they, you know, Firion has chosen to just love unconditionally, and Zan goes around and helps the towns with her magic.
Mm-hmm.
And
protects the babies.
Mm-hmm.
The babies.
So it's what you do with your sorrow.
Yep.
It's what you do with your hard times, because I think we can make excuses like, mm-hmm. well, I've had a hard life, and so this is why I'm a jerk, you know, or whatever, you know. And you can't do that. Like, and everybody has a hard life. Yeah. Obviously, it's not, some are harder than others, but nobody's life is perfect. Maybe it seems like it, you know, like sometimes we can look at other people and think our lives are perfect, but anyway. I'm tangenting. I'm sorry.
But stop it.
I feel like that is exactly what she's showing yeah. us here, because all of those people had intense sorrow in their mm-hmm. hearts, but the sorrow eater was the only one that had just decided to
yeah.
hide it away, not address it, not have mm-hmm. any hope for the future, and then use that and terrorize the entire village.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everyone around her, one might say.
One might.
Sorrow Eater. It's a good name to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Unfortunately, there are people like that around us.
They want everyone else to feel the mm-hmm. same sorrow.
Yes, if I can't be happy, no one can be happy.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know if there's going to be a sequel.
Well, that's not what she's working on right now. So,
what is she working on right now?
I just want to make a comment on that, because I think we're living in this age like where there has to be like a sequel, or like we need like yeah. 7 books, you know.
I don't need 7.
And
I'm just saying answers.
I was thinking about that today, cuz I was like, "Oh, it'd be cool if this were a movie," but I'm like, "Oh, well, it's you know, will it be made a movie, because they would only make 1 movie, you know, and that's not
right.
that's not profitable, you know. They we need to have like more than 7 movie. Movies. And I mean, yeah, they could, but I don't see why they would do that. I mean, I guess they could explore the background, you know, of what happened before this a little bit more, but I don't know. I just had that thought today, like why can't we just have 1 movie and enjoy that, or just 1 book and enjoy that, and let our own imaginations finish, you know, what let us decide what happens next. And
because I'm the kind of person that would like to know
Star Wars movies are.
What the person who wrote it and came up with the story, like what their, I want to know what their answer to it is, because like it's their story,
right? And I understand that, but I think we're always going to have questions about stuff. You know, there's always something that's going to be able to be explored.
I think it's hard sometimes, too, because we're used to people leaving certain questions on purpose. And in this book, I did feel like there were some things that
were
intentionally
setting
like,
us up
yeah,
for something.
And then nothing.
And we didn't get the answers. And yeah, so, and we do, we live in that world now where that's just the kind of storytelling we're used to, especially in movies, like, they set up these mysteries, and we want to know, like, who's Rey's family, and, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah. And I don't think that's totally new, though.
No, but it's
been series before.
It's just, I think we got to be careful that we're not so caught up with that we miss this awesome story that's being told, you know?
Well, and that's also, I mean, a tell of a great author when you're like, I'm going to need some more from you.
Yeah, exactly.
This story was amazing. And it was.
Yeah, I mean, I won't be mad if she writes a sequel. I will read that.
Lauren, you heard it here. She will protest any sequel to this book.
But, like, don't just write a sequel to make money. Like, it better be a good story.
That's the trick. Know? Because some authors, they have that in them. They have more to the story to mm-hmm. tell. But some authors just
force it out.
It's just, yeah, it's not a good, it's like, a there's disgrace. Some sequels, like, I'm thinking of certain movies, like, they make sequels just to make
See, a that's sequel. That's the key. What's your and motivation? It's
like, this was not good. Like, it, like the first one was so good and so well done. I don't think Kelly well would do that to us. No, though. I don't think she would. Not Kelly. Our new friend, Kelly.
Kelly and Kate, we're all going to hang
that's
out
That's right, we're in coming Minnesota. To Minnesota.
I'll yes. be there at Christmas we're coming. Time. So, we can hang out then.
Any last thoughts on this before we begin to wrap it up?
It did not disappoint.
It did all. Not.
I was worried because I had high hopes for this book, and sometimes
yeah,
that can be bad.
Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't know what to expect from this book, and I ended up really, really liking it. So, it's a thumbs up for me.
Is it a, I'm going to finish it from Mandy?
Yeah, no. Mandy wants to finish the it highest and find out what happens after.
I would finish it, but the time ran out.
Yes, I get it.
It's a long one.
The time almost ran out on me. I finished it today, which normally I finished it before. Well, the Newbery Honor books for this year were Freedom Over Me, 11 Slaves, Their Lives and Dreams Brought to Life by Ashley Bryan. It was written and illustrated by her. And do you want me to give the blurbs of these or just say the titles?
The titles.
Okay. There was The Inquisitor's Tale or The Three Magical Children and Their Holy Dog, written by Adam Gidwitz.
That sounds interesting.
And the last one is Wolf Hollow by Lauren Wook.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, they all sound pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm the one who gets to choose our next so book.
What's it gonna be? We don't know. We're all yes, hearing it together.
We've started to not tell each other what we're going to do.
So fun.
I have chosen.
It's like a secret surprise.
Lauren doesn't even know which one she chose.
What I just want to get Mandy the year. Get I want to get the year right. I have chosen the 1936 Newbery Medal winner, Kati Woodlawn.
Aww.
Lauren took it back to the 1930s.
I feel like I have to take it back because you guys choose not. Like modern ones. We will not ones. Do it. And I'm like, we're going to read all the modern ones and then we'll be stuck reading all the old
Our
ones.
Our first book scarred me for life. I'm afraid to go back.
I don't want another story of mankind.
I don't either.
I just don't want us to like read all the
Kati Woodlawn, new I think ones. I watched a movie of that
I've
when
watched
I was a
movie,
kid.
Yes. I think the Feature Films for Families put that one out.
They had some good movies.
Yeah, that will be our next one. Kati Woodlawn by Carol Ryrie Brink.
Excited. Right. Are we ready for our...
Yes, let's tell the people how to get a hold of us if they so choose.
You can email us teamfriendshippodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram @teamfriendshippodcast.
We are on Facebook. www.facebook.com/teamfriendshippodcast.
We are on Twitter @3friendspodcast, the number 3.
And our website, teamfriendshippodcast.com.
We've been making some minor changes to our website, so if you go on there and things look weird, I'm sorry.
We're under construction.
It's not like crazy weird, I'm just trying to figure stuff out because I don't understand how to do it. You can find me on Twitter @GracieFirstborn.
You can find me on Instagram, Leah Raniel.
You can follow me on Instagram @MandyMalay.
And then we just wanted to spotlight a charity organization with especially the one that hit Puerto Rico. I think it was Hurricane Maria.
There's
been a lot of
it just
them.
Seems like the people of Puerto Rico have been hardest and not a lot of help is being sent their way. So I found some help that is being sent their way. It's called Save the Children Relief Organization. I'll put the link to them. And so they specifically send people down there to help the children, like providing safe places for them and just things that kids would specifically need. So since we like to read children's books, I thought I'd find an organization that was geared toward children. But
I like it.
You guys are welcome to donate wherever. I just feel like we can't rely on the government to
do
everything.
No, it takes people stepping up and helping out.
Let's step up and help our fellow Americans.
As perspective, our world is great, but they need help.
Yes, yes they do. Let's show them that there is hope. It's not all sorrow. All right, I think that's it, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, we will see you all in another time.
And remember, friends, no two persons ever read the same book. And if you're Mandy, you still have to finish this one.
'Cause it's riveting. <laughs> This is riveting. <laughs> What was that book? On this book, let's find it. Let's look it up. I thought I had it right here, and I don't. It's all right. I apologize. My apologies, friends. Not accepted. Unacceptable. Wow.
Wow. No, it's all right.
I thought we were friends. I need this team friendship.
Need to pump some more energy drink in.
The girl who drank the moon.
Wow. They should make a movie. But only if it's good.
Right. We don't want some dumb...
Well, because, like, I feel like it's a kid's book, but it's a longer kid's book. And, like, kids' movies are usually only, like, an hour and a half. This needs more than an hour and a half.
Hmm. And that is Mandy's review of The Girl Who Drank the Moon.
Yes, it is.
Pay attention, Mandy.
I'm trying to see if there's going to be a sequel, guys.
How original.
I loved how afraid you looked.
You were just like, oh, crap, I forgot I had to do that.